Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We have a pretty rich broadcast, I believe, ahead of us. And I'm going to be, once again, going back to the book of Revelation. I believe it's an end time prophecy, and it is going to have its fulfillment and outworking in our lives and in the world today that we live in. And I think when we connect the dots, that'll be very clear. But first of all, Jesus is alive. Do you believe it? I believe it with all my heart that the King of Glory is coming. I believe that Jesus Christ is going to be exalted above the nations of the earth. And just as the sun rose this morning and all the darkness fled and the light overwhelmed the darkness, that a day is coming that there will be no need for the moon or the sun or the stars. For the glory of the Lord will lighten the universe forever. And I pray today that the S-O-N on the inside of you will outray and manifest just like the rising of the sun in the morning. Oh, glory to God. I believe that there are a people in the earth, on this planet, at this time, that are absolutely, going to outray and put on display the glory of God. And I am praising the Lord for that. And I hope that you are too. So let me just continue to say that there is something on the inside of you that is greater than anything going on in the world today. And that Christ in you, the hope of glory, is going to manifest forth all the power, all the anointing, all the revelation, the wisdom, the knowledge that the answer to everything is dwelling on the inside of you. Christ is dwelling in your heart by faith. And the Apostle Paul said that Jesus Christ would literally manifest in our mortal flesh. And my prayer to God today is that you are a vessel meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work, that you have purged yourself of all the wood, hay, and stubble of your earthly nature, and that you have, like it says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And this is an awesome thing, that when we clean the inside of the cup, that God is able to fill that cup with something divine and glorious without obstruction, without adulteration of any sort, but just a crystal clear river flowing. You know, and I know, that the crystal clear waters spoken of in Revelation chapter 22 that flow out from the throne of God, that is the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt that the living waters, the fountain of living waters, the river of life, this is all representative and symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit wants to flow out of you. And the Holy Spirit, everywhere the river goes, it brings healing. And there's something spectacular and glorious going on inside of you today. And you need to know it. You need to know that the SON is shining brightly, and all the clouds of adversity and all the covering cast over the nations of the earth will eventually give way to that powerful sun when it rises in its full strength. Even the prophet Isaiah said, the sun shining seven times the power of the sun. Wow. It's like the seven suns shining forth, and that light is in you. There's no doubt about it. There's nothing else to say. The only thing is, you want to have your oil. You want to have your oil in these days. You want to be prepared. You want to be a wise virgin. You want to put on the garments of praise. You want to put on the new creation. This is the time to do it. There's no reason to wait any longer. Put off the old man. Put on the new man that is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on Christ. We're told that in Romans chapter 13. This is the time to put on the glory and to put off the shame of a fallen Adamic humanity. Can you do it? You've been given permission. We've all been given permission to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's so wonderful about that is that it's not about us. It's about Him. I say it this way. God has put in my nothing everything. God has put in my nothingness His everything. So we have this treasure, Christ, in an earthen vessel. It's not about the earthen vessel. It's about the treasure. And my vessel, your vessel, being earthen vessels, that's who we are, vessels of clay. But internally, we are vessels of gold. We are vessels of silver. We are vessels of honor. And in that inward new creation, God has deposited His eternal glory. And the eternal glory of God that is in the face of Jesus Christ is in you. And that's what the pirates are after. That's what the demons are after. They want to steal the treasure. And you are carrying this precious cargo everywhere you go, and they're not going to steal it. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the truth. You have the can-do living on the inside of you. You have the power. You have the wisdom. You have the revelation. You have the knowledge. You have the ability to let that word go forth out of your mouth, and to proclaim a new day, and to create an environment, and to cultivate an atmosphere. You can do that by the words of your mouth. And we're doing that right now as we're speaking, because we're going into the book of Revelation. But, you know, we understand when there's blockage, when there's opposition, when there's adversity, when there's anything that hinders, we know what to do. We speak the word of God. We speak the glory of God. We speak the praise of God. And that's what we do. And what we're wanting to do today is to just clarify again. And I'll tell you why I'm going to do it. Because we go to bed every night with our YouTube or radio on, and it's always people preaching the gospel. We fill our hearts and minds every night with the word of God. Sometimes the people that come on, they're wonderful speakers, but they begin to go off into different directions of the pre-tribulational rapture, once saved, always saved. And so I thought, well, we need to clarify it again. Because I listen with interest, because I want to know what they're saying, why they're saying it. And I listen with interest. And I thought, well, if I'm listening with interest to this conversation, well, I'll bet the people tuned into this radio broadcast right now or on YouTube or Facebook that maybe they're interested too. They'd like to tune into a Bible study that will open the understanding. And they could, you know, you can refute something just for the sake of refuting it, or you can refute something because it is wrong. And I'm going to refute the idea of a pre-trib rapture and once saved, always saved, and Christians can't have demons until people understand what the Bible says. And that's what we're going to do today. So with that said, let's go to Revelation chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Excuse me. And here's what it actually says in the first three verses here in this book of Revelation are absolutely amazing. And in my understanding, they tell us where we are in God's calendar. The prophetic word of God is always a declaration to God's people of what time it is. And one of the old songs out there by a group called Chicago was, does anybody know what time it is? Does anybody really care about time? Well, I believe that we do know what time it is. It's high time to put on Christ. We do know that in the economy of heaven, it's the timing of everything. I believe we're living in a Kairos moment. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So what time is it? Does anybody really care? I care, and I think you care, because we need to know what time it is. And so the book of Revelation is set apart for a people living in the last days that have a hunger and a thirst to understand and to know God's righteousness. I believe that with all my heart. And so the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, I want to start there, and then we'll proceed. I want to share many thoughts about this book of Revelation. Revelation 1:1, the revelation. Now, you know what the word revelation means. It's the apocalypsis. So at the very beginning of this book called the book of Revelation, it is the apocalypsis. And I'll give you some more definition here. And the apocalypsis means the laying bare or making naked, taking away anything. It also means a disclosure of truth. So this is a disclosure of truth. It also means, the word revelation, instruction. Ah, now we're going to get some understanding of what this book really is. It's a book that discloses truth to those that are seeking it. It is instruction. It also means, in definition, concerning things before unknown. Concerning things before unknown. This is the Greek definition. All these definitions are the Greek for revelation. So it's a laying bare. It's a disclosure of truth. It is instruction of things concerning things before unknown. Okay. And I like this part of the definition. It's used of events by which things or states or persons hitherto withdrawn from view are made visible to all. So things, events, persons are withdrawn from view. Revelation is being made visible to all. So things that were behind the curtain, so to speak. And if you could understand the idea of a stage and there is a curtain drawn and behind the curtain, the curtain's ready to open and the theater is about to begin. So the stage is set in the book of Revelation. And the timing is about when the curtain is going to be unveiled, when it's going to be brought back, and it means manifestation. All right, so this is all the apocalypsis, the revelation. It also means the appearing. It also means to lighten. So with that being said, we go back to this prophecy, the revelation, the disclosure of truth, the instruction, the unveiling, okay, the laying bare, all of these things of Jesus Christ. Now, the word of is very important to understand, and you have to go into the deeper Greek to really get that meaning, and the word of means belonging to. So the revelation belonging to Jesus Christ. The revelation, the apocalypsis, belonging to Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So God gave to Jesus Christ instruction, the disclosure of truth, things that have been hidden that are about to be revealed. God gave this to Jesus Christ, the revelation, the apocalypsis. He gave it to him to show unto his servants. And that word to show, And I love the definitions here. I'll give it to you as we're speaking. The word to show there means, it's the dak or the dake nuo, and it means to expose to the eyes. Metaphorically, it means to give evidence or to show by words. And it also means basically to just show something. So God gave to Jesus Christ this revelation, this instruction, this unveiling of things that are going to come that have been hidden. He gave it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to his servants, okay? For what reason? He gave unto him, God gave it to Jesus to show, all right, to reveal it, unto his servants. And this is very important who the servants were here. And this is the word, the doulos. It's not just a general sense of a servant, you know, that works at a restaurant or all that. The doulos were actually bond servants. They were slaves, okay? And that doulos actually means a slave, involuntary, okay? Therefore, in a qualified sense of subjection or subserviency, a bond servant. So this revelation is so important that God gave to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ gave it to his servants, those doulos servants who were his bond slaves, who were subservient and subjection to him. Not just a general person that could come and go at their own will and serve at their own discretion or when they want to. These are people who were given over to the cause. They were the bond servants of the Lord. Very powerful to be a bond servant. Paul the apostle said he was a bond servant, a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he gave this revelation. God did to Jesus. He gave it to show to his servants. And what was he doing? That he might show unto his servants things. And the word things there is actually events, events. So he's going to show events which must shortly come to pass. And we need to look at the word must. And I had this all absolutely written out. So the word must is the Greek word da. Okay, the word must is da. And it means it is necessary. That's the Greek definition for must. It is necessary. There is need of, or it behooves, if you will. And it literally talks about needful, okay? And I like this part of the definition here. So he's going to tell his servants events that must, and the word must is necessity brought on by circumstances or by the conduct of others toward us. So must is it's a forcing. It comes by necessity in reference to what is required. So this is all necessary. It must be. And so let's go back again and look at the definition. Look at verse 1 again while we're in verse 1. The revelation, the apocalypse, belonging to Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. God gave him the instruction, the disclosure of truth, the laying bare of things. Okay, so God gave it unto him to show unto his servants, the doulos, the bond servants, the events, things which must or by necessity through circumstances be brought on by the conduct of others toward us. Okay, so something's going to be an impetus. Something's going to press to bring this thing on. Things which must shortly come to pass. And that word shortly comes from two Greek words, en takos, with speed. So the events that are going to be brought on by necessity shortly or actually are going to come with speed. So the word shortly doesn't mean I've got 1 minute from the time I say it. It just is saying that when the things, the events that are being spoken of are going to come, they're going to come with speed. So things which must shortly with speed come to pass. Now that phrase there, come to pass, is the genomai, and that word actually means to come into existence. So with speed, the events that are going to be spoken of will come into existence. They will be brought into existence by necessity. In other words, things that have been hidden are going to be forced into the light. The revelation, the instruction that is given is going to be given to the doulos servants. The doulos servants are going to give it to the ecclesias, And this is going to be the revelation, the word concerning events that are coming. They're going to come with speed, okay? And they're going, and I like this part of the definition as well. It means to arise or appear in history, come upon the stage. And we were talking earlier, if you could view a stage, the curtain is drawn, is together, it's closed off. Behind the curtain, everything is set. Everything is set. All the players on the stage are set. And you can go on to the dragon, the beast, all the events, everything that's about to be spoken of, all the events of this revelation are ready to go. But at the right time, with speed, it is going to be unveiled. The curtain is going to come back. The lights are going to shine. And the theater is going to begin. The play is going to begin. The prophecy is going to begin, because this revelation is a prophecy. Many of you already know that's true. So we have something that's coming into existence, must come to pass. Okay, let's go back to the first verse again. And then I want to read it to you how it actually states all together. So we have the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Or it's the revelation belonging to Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his doulos, servants, the bond slaves, things or events which must, by necessity, come to pass, or must shortly, with speed, come to pass or come on the world stage. So everything that this prophecy is going to say is going to come with speed on the world stage. It's absolutely amazing when you put the proper Greek to this, what it's really saying. And then it says, he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now you're getting into legal terms here, and you're going to see a little bit more about this. He sent, which is the really the apostolic or apostolos, he sent. And he signified it by his angel, by his spirit, unto his servant John. So we know that God gave to Jesus this prophecy, the instructions for the unveiling of the events that are going to come with speed on the world stage at the right time. And then he sent it to his servant John. And in verse 2, it says, who bear record. Now we're getting into the legal terms. He bare record of the word of God. So there's a testimony that John had of the word. We know who the word of God is, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. So there is a record, there is a testimony of the word of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So John has the legal right. He is in legal standing. This is all legal. This document, this revelation, this unveiling of truth is given to the Apostle John. Now, we get into some really awesome stuff here. And it says in verse 3, blessed is he that reads. Now, that word blessed simply means to be fortunate and to make happy. Fortunate, well off, happy. And that's the Makarios, the Makarios. So blessed are they who what? Blessed is he that reads. Now, there is a way you could sit down and open up the book of Revelation and read it. Just read it. But a lot of people have put their hand to read it, but they never understood it. The blessing is not just reading it. The blessing is reading it with this, the anagnosko. And that word there means, that's the anagnosko, and what it means to know again. And it also means to distinguish or to recognize, or to know accurately, and to read out loud. So in other words, when this prophecy, this revelation, is read out loud, and there is an ability to bring distinguishing thought, and to bring about a recognition, or to know accurately, to acknowledge, okay, to know again. In other words, this isn't just epignosis knowledge that you could read in any book and get a mental picture. It's a spiritual knowing. It's an inward accuracy of what is going on here. And it's really important that you and I understand the book of Revelation. I mean, we need to understand what this book is all about and why it exists and how it existed and where it's supposed to be fulfilled. I mean, this is all very important. So it's important that the Holy Spirit ultimately, not just Greek definitions, okay, the Holy Spirit has to really impart the revelation. There's no doubt about that. It's all Spirit revealed. But there's a blessing, a happiness, a fortunateness, if you will, to those who do read it when it's read out loud. And it's not only to those who read, to he who reads, but it says, blessed is he that reads and they that hear. And I want to look at the word hear. It's the akouo, and that means it's not just hearing with your ear. Again, it means to give an audience or come to the ears, to be noise, to be reported, but it means to understand. So those that hear with understanding, we know that the prophet Isaiah was sent and he said they have ears to hear, but they don't understand. Okay? So it means to be endowed with the faculty of hearing. It means to attend to. So those who are hearing are giving attention to or attending to or considering what is or has been said. It also, in definition, means to understand or perceive the sense of what is said. That's important. To understand the book of Revelation, what it is, those who are reading it out loud, giving the sense, and those that are hearing it with understanding, perceiving, recognizing, considering, giving attention to what is being said, it also means to perceive by the ear what is announced in one's presence, okay? And so to comprehend. Now, what is it that is being read and what is it that the people are hearing? Someone's reading out loud, giving the sense. There's someone hearing, getting the understanding. Here's what it says again in Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words, they're hearing the words of this prophecy. Now, there's the first time that the book of Revelation is called a prophecy, but it happens four more times in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, 7, 10, 18, and 19. So in Revelation 22, 7, 10, 18, and 19, that's four times, and in Revelation 1:3, this book of Revelation is called a prophecy. Now, the word prophecy is the word prophetia, and what does it mean? Here's the definition of what the prophecy is. It is a discourse emanating from divine inspiration and declaring the purposes of God. So prophecy declares the purpose of God. Now, how many of you want to know God's purpose for the last days? God's purpose and intention, right? Well, that's what this is, by divine inspiration and declaring the purposes of God, whether by reproving and admonishing the wicked, which you'll see a lot of that in this prophecy, or comforting the afflicted, which you'll see a lot in this prophecy, or revealing things hidden, which you're definitely going to see, especially, listen, by foretelling future events. There you have it. Prophecy is foretelling future events. So as God gave to Jesus this revelation, this prophecy, Jesus gave it to the doulos servants by way of the apostle John. So in other words, he gave it, he signified it to his servant John, and John, as you're going to see, gives it to the servants, the seven bishops, if you will, of the seven churches in Asia Minor, which we'll get into, but I don't want to lose the sense of what's happening here. So there's a, God is foretelling, showing Jesus what will be. Jesus is showing John what will be. John is showing the seven churches what will be. It's all a foretelling of future events. Now, if this prophecy is not fulfilled, if you could study 2,000 years of church history and not find its fulfillment, it means it hasn't arrived yet. Now, people get a little upset about that, and they say, well, how could a prophecy written 2,000 years ago not have arrived yet? And that's a very simple, there's a very simple answer to that question. It's a good question, but there's a simple answer to it. In the book of Genesis, there's a prophecy of the coming Messiah. But it took 4,000 years for that prophecy to be fulfilled. There's only one Messiah that has been prophesied in the book of Genesis and all throughout the Old Covenant. There was the prophecy of the Messiah. Isaiah talks about the coming of the Messiah. They all do. I mean, he's everywhere in the Old Testament. They're all waiting thousands of years. But what happens? In the dispensation of the fullness of time, God sends his son. The one that was prophesied of 4,000 years earlier, finally, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, God sends him. That means it was the right moment, the kairos moment, the set time, the appointed time. It was the exact moment in the economy of God when it was time to fulfill the prophecy. So if Jesus Christ was prophesied to come 4,000 years before he did, and you and I are looking at a book getting frustrated thinking, well, God, it was written 2,000 years ago. It must have been fulfilled. No, that's not true. It will be fulfilled when God, in the perfect kairos time, opens the curtain. What do I mean by that? Well, let's go a little further. The continued definition of the word prophecy is a prediction. It also means prophesying. And that's kind of what we do. We're prophesying the prophecy. We have the prophecy. It's sitting in front of us. It's called the book of Revelation, and we have it, and we give life to it by the Spirit of God, and we open it up by the Spirit when it's time, when it's time. Now, we could go deeper into the prophecy, but let's go a little bit deeper now and look at these words. He says in verse 3, "Blessed is he that reads, they that hear, all with understanding, the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written." That means to guard, okay, to guard the things that are written. You want the blessing? It's the only book in the Bible says, read this book and you're going to be blessed. You want to be happy and fortunate? You want to be full of hope and light and have energy and all the Spirit of God blessings on your life? Understand this book. Know where we are in time. It will rejuvenate you. It will revive you. It will stir the living waters within you so they can flow. It'll light the passion once again in your heart, but it doesn't stop there. He said, "Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written." Guard them. Hold on to them. Don't let it go mentally. Okay, keep it. The things that are written therein, watch. "For the time is at hand." Now, this is awesome. The word time here, the time is at hand. The word time is the kairos. And the word kairos means this. Here's the definition. Due measure. A measure of time. A fixed and definite time. So the Revelation prophecy has a fixed and definite time to be unveiled. That's in the hand of the Father. That's in the mind of God. It's his prophecy. God gave this prophecy to Jesus. This is not man's prophecy. This is God's foretelling of what will be at the end of time. He gave it to Jesus to share with John, to share with the doulos servants. And it's a fixed and definite time. Listen to this in the definition. It is the time when things are brought to crises. Ha! There's crises all over the world. There's always been crises. I get that. But man, there's something different about our generation. We've got to look at it again. Things going on in our generation that have never existed in the history of the world. So it will come at a time, a fixed and definite time, when things or events are brought to crisis, and it is the decisive epoch waited for. And it is also for God's people an opportune or seasonable time. So it's opportunity in the midst of a crisis when all these things are going to begin to happen. It's called the right time. All right. And so this again is the set or proper time, always opportunity in the midst of a crisis. And so it is, the time is at hand. The phrase there, at hand, again in verse 3, blessed is he that reads, they that hear the words of this prophecy, keep those things that are written therein, for the time, the kairos, is at hand. In other words, the phrase there is the engus, and the word engus or eggies, however you want to pronounce it, literally means of times imminent, soon to come to pass. Now, what does the word soon mean? Soon mean with speed. So when it comes, it's going to come with speed on the world stage. It also means to squeeze or throttle. Now, you know a throttle is shifting gears, right? Throttle down, vroom, right? So time is at hand. The time, the kairos, when this prophecy is ready to go, things are going to throttle. They're going to accelerate. There's an acceleration, and you're witnessing right now around the world the acceleration of the times that we are in. And that's what this prophecy is all about. And to squeeze it, which means all these events that we're about to study in the book of Revelation are going to literally be forced by squeezing like a bottleneck. And all of a sudden, it's going to be squeezed into reality. We're going to see it. It's going to manifest. It's going to go forth. It's going to come with speed on the world stage. The curtain will be withdrawn, and everything will commence. The prophecy will commence. Now, I want to stop there for just a moment and go over a few things that I've talked about before. And I encourage you to do your studying on verses 1, 2, and 3, because those three verses set the stage for the direction that one's going to go in. I mean, it gives us such a download of information and understanding and revelation and wisdom and knowledge to get us ready to look into this. Now we're not looking blindly. We're understanding this book is a revelation prophecy of future events that are going to happen. And when the time for this prophecy to be fulfilled comes, it's going to come with speed on the world stage, and it's going to begin and it's going to go to the end or its fulfillment. Now, to me, that's rich. And we need to always be thinking, how do I engage this prophecy? There's a few things I want you to remember. Write these down so you don't forget. Remember, keep the things that are written in the sense that is given. The book of Revelation is not a 10,000-piece crossword puzzle with a bunch of pieces scattered all over the table, and you got to go and put the pieces together. No, the book of Revelation is a continuum. Don't ever forget that. When you read the book of Revelation, what you will find within every chapter and at the beginning of every chapter, they put chapters in there for a reason. At the beginning of every chapter, you will see that it's from one event to the next. It's an unfolding. It's just as real as reading a book from the beginning to the end, and all the events transpire one after the other. There are moments of pause. We talk about that also. But understand that the book of Revelation is meant to be read with the first seal, the second seal, the third seal, not the first seal, the eighth seal, the fourth seal. There is no eighth seal. It's not crossword puzzles. It's consistent continuation of unfolding events that will happen. Now, the thing about the book of Revelation that we have is that the first five chapters of the book of Revelation are not prophecy. Chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, there's really no prophecy in those chapters. What you have in chapter 1 is the introduction. We're told about the prophecy, who it's from, who it's to, and some awesome detail about Jesus Christ and his glory. chapters 2 and 3 are who the prophecy is to, the church. There are seven of them, making up the complete number of the ecclesia globally throughout the ages of the church age, right? And so chapters 2 and 3 are letters to the seven churches. Really no prophecy, just an admonition to overcome, an exhortation to encourage the saints of God to overcome in their present world situation, whatever the conditions are in. And we have some specifics. Chapter 4, John gets his apprehension and he goes into heaven to the throne of God. And he sees God's glory. He sees the four living creatures, the seven lamps of fire burning. He sees the myriads of angels, 10,000 times 10,000 angels singing. He sees the colors of God's rainbow, the genuine rainbow of God. And those colors all have significance. He sees all this glory. He sees the crystal sea before the throne. Powerful stuff. No prophecy. Every true prophet of God, and John is definitely going to be prophesying, has been encountered by God so God could download the message and then send them forth. He has to put the words in their mouth. He has to. He encounters all of his prophets. Okay, so John is being encountered in chapter 4. Chapter 5, again, there's a book. And it's sealed with seven seals. Nobody could open it. John is weeping. The elder comes and says, "Why are you weeping?" Nobody could open the book. He says, "Don't weep. There's one that has prevailed. He has the legal right to unseal the book." The book that will be unsealed is the prophecy. And that's why when you get to chapter 6, with the opening of the first seal, that's when the prophecy begins. Okay? So everything is introduction up until chapter 6. Chapter 5, there's the book. It's going to open. There's a legal right for it to open at the right time when God says it's time. When God says it's time, the first seal will open. So now what we do is we occupy ourselves with looking at the first seal. And when we study the first seal, we ask, was there any time in the church age during the last 2,000 years or so that that seal could have opened? And lo and behold, we find ample evidence, not only in the historical data, but in our own generation, in our time. Now, what is unique about our time? Our time is the time when Israel becomes a nation again, about after being scattered to the ends of the earth. Never happened before that a nation disappears off the face of the earth, scattered to the ends of the world. And yet, in our generation in 1948, giving a generation 70 to 80 years, that's what the Bible says, and there are 120-year generations, but within our context, there are people living today that literally witnessed Israel in 1948 becoming a nation. They're alive today. They're in their 70s and 80s. They were alive when it happened. It's our generation. Israel was brought back. Their Torah, from all over the world, they began to come back to their land. That's amazing. Today, they are a bustling, thriving people, a nation. They're having a problem with the conflict of Ishmael, Palestinians, Arabs, whatever. There's this problem. Everybody's trying to separate the land, give them their own sovereignty, the Jews, and give the Palestinians theirs. But we're told in Scripture, anybody that burdens himself with this idea is going to be cut to pieces. All right, so peace treaties really don't work, but the Antichrist will make a peace treaty at the end of time, and Israel will have its temple back. It's all ready to go. So that's another sign of the times. We're told by the prophet Daniel in chapter 12 of Daniel that in the last days, knowledge would increase. Well, all one has to do is look at our generation. Go back 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and look how fast, right? It's with speed. Look how fast technology, artificial intelligence, nanotechnologies have exploded around the world. And look at our world today. This has never been. Maybe in the days of Noah, if we could even understand them. I think this is so far beyond that. We are tapped into incredible technology knowledge of every sort, the information superhighway. It's a sign of the times in our generation. In our generation, there's always been knowledge. There's always been progress, but nothing like what we have seen. A nation coming back together, knowledge increasing. My God, it's so obvious, right? And yet Daniel also said, and people will be traveling all over the world. Our generation, people have always traveled, but nobody's ever traveled like we are traveling. Come on. It's absolutely phenomenal. So in that context, with all this going on in our generation, what a time for God to say, now is the time for the prophecy. Do you know, 4,000 years before Jesus came and fulfilled the prophecy that was given 4,000 years earlier, many false Jesuses showed up. People became impatient. They thought maybe Gideon was the Messiah, or Jeremiah was the Messiah, or Moses was the Messiah, or there were all kinds of messiahs, but they were never the Messiah. And so false messiahs would come and declare themselves to be, but they weren't right. And when people are trying to read the book of Revelation for 2,000 years, but the time had not yet come, that's why it wasn't fulfilled. It has to be at the right time, with the right people, living in the world where we see prophecy being fulfilled. Now is the time where all prophecy is being fulfilled. It's opening before our eyes. And I believe that as we continue to read and study the book of Revelation, we're going to realize, man, this is it. I could find myself in this book, which brings me to another point. Something very unique about the book of Revelation. Not only is it a continuum, read every chapter. Start in chapter 4. It's a great place to start. Just read every single chapter from chapter 4 to 22 and look how every verse begins. And after these things, and I saw, and I heard, after this I beheld. It always is a continuum and is a connector from one event to the next, one event to the next. It's very clear. It's a prophecy. But the uniqueness of this prophecy, think about what it involves. Everything in the created realities of God are involved in this prophecy. You're in it. There's no doubt in my mind you're in this prophecy. The sun is in it. The moon is in it. The stars are in it. The angels are in it. The demons are in it. Satan is in it. God is in it. Jesus is in it. Holy Spirit is in it. The fish of the sea are in it. The birds of the air are in it. The beasts of the earth are in it. The sky is in it. The mountains are in it. The deserts are in it. The nations are in it. Every tribe, every tongue, all of creation is in it, and you are in it. Where's your part? Which part are you? Which part am I? I guarantee you're in it. There's nothing excluded from the revelation. Israel is in it. Islam is in it. Everything is in it. Now that's unique. That is very unique. Because it involves a moment that God saw way back when of what the end would be. And the ultimate reality of this revelation prophecy, with all the events that are going to take place that we need to prepare for, the end of the matter is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to set up his government upon this earth and even beyond that. Because after the 1,000 years, we're told that we go into the eternal eighth day of new beginnings that no man, no mind can even begin to comprehend what God has for us after the millennial reign. We can't even fathom living in a world with glorified bodies that never die because we are the people of the resurrection, or we were changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the coming of the Lord and received our glorified bodies that will never die. We can't even fathom what it's like to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth in resurrected glorified bodies, let alone after that 1,000 year or that one day, that Sabbath day, comes the eternal eighth day of something beyond that. I mean, how could we even conceive such a thing? But the cool news is that's what this prophecy is saying is coming. And it's important that you and I endure to the end of the things that are coming. And if we're aware of what they are, we could prepare. And you have to remember, I mean, this is super important. This is super important. This revelation prophecy was given in a particular environment and was meant to do something. And I'm going to read it out of my notes that I wrote down in my Bible because I think it's important. And I just want to share this with you, that the warning, you see, this book, this revelation, this prophecy is a warning of what's coming. It is the warning of the urgent persecution is consistent with what Jesus taught on the Mount of Olives in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, 2 Thessalonians, and it goes along with the apostles' doctrine, 2 Thessalonians 2, 2 Peter chapter 3, and many other verses, books, and chapters. But it's a warning of the urgent persecution that is coming. Right now in Nigeria, they're saying it's at an alarming rate because Boko Haram, the terrorist organization, and other terror organizations in Nigeria have overwhelmed the government and are persecuting Christians at an alarming rate. Tens and tens and tens and thousands of Nigerians are being murdered and tortured. I just listened to it. I just heard it on the EWTN News Network. But your news media is not covering the persecution against the Christians who are dying as martyrs because they're not giving up their faith. And Boko Haram and these other Islamic groups are demanding them to give up their faith in Christ. They're not doing it, so they're dying. They are the martyrs, which is also consistent with the times we're in right now because that's the fifth seal. And we're there. I believe those first five seals have been opened, but this is a warning. The book of Revelation is not to be taken as some light, theatrical thing of hilarity and entertainment. It's an absolute warning that things are going to come so fast. And what's happening right now? Coronavirus, the fear of it, Ebola, viruses waiting in the backdrop. Are they in the Bible? I've got scriptures in front of me everywhere concerning plagues and pestilences. They're all over scripture from Genesis to Revelation. From Genesis to Revelation, plagues and pestilences are mentioned. And yet in Revelation 9, the last time it's used, the word plague, it says, even after all these terrible things, these plagues, they still would not repent. We're in something right now. We need to wake up to it. And we should be fortunate, happy, and blessed, even though it's a message of warning. Why? Because it remains a blessing. Because we know the end of the matter. We know what's going on in the world right now. It's no different than what happened in the book of Exodus on the first Passover. The first Passover, they were told to put the blood on their lives, on their homes. And when the angel of death passed over, saw the blood, it left them alone. You have to get under the blood. The blood needs to speak on your behalf. We know this. But what was going on? The people that were under the blood escaped the plagues and the pestilences that God sent against the Egyptian Empire. The Egyptian Empire is representative or symbolic of the world system. The world system is ready to die. The present world order going to die. It is going to change. It is going to collapse. And out of the ashes of the collapse is going to rise this satanic, evil empire that is going to be totally different from anything you've ever known. It would be like leaving the United States of America today and flying to Turkey, Iran, Afghanistan, and coming under a whole different form of government. Think about that. You go to Dubai today. They have laws that are better than our own country, believe me. And I don't want to get into that right now, but here's the deal. If you left the United States and moved and became subject to another power, another government, maybe in the days of communist Russia or communist China, and you came under that regime, that's a way of life you don't know anything about. And what God is saying, there's something going to come out of the ashes of this present world order collapse that is going to be satanic. And for 3.5 years, that government is going to make war with you. The people of the earth are going to worship it. It's coming after you, the believer. So blessed are they who die in the Lord from this time forward, the scripture says. They won't have to face these things. They have to die, but they will resurrect at the second coming of the Lord. But those of us who are alive and remaining, we're not getting out of here in a pre-tribulational rapture. We're getting prepared by this book because there's no pre-trib rapture in the book of Revelation. It is a call to endure and persevere and to have such faith in God's presence in our lives that we can walk through it regardless of plagues, coronavirus, terrorism. We are not to fear any of those things because we have a supernatural protection for those that are going to walk through this. Unfortunately, many are going to give in to fear and offense. Their love is going to grow cold. They're going to persecute one another. The majority are not going to make this. The majority are not going to make it because they're filled with false ideas that are not in the Bible. And man, if people are not willing to get educated in the truth, in the light of Scripture, not man's fantasies, then they're setting themselves up for failure. And that's horrible. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. I know it's not easy. Don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying Nazi Germany and having to be a Jew going into a concentration camp. But Corrie ten Boom made it through. You and I will endure and win and go through to the second coming of the Lord. Because after the tribulation, the Lord will return and we will gather. The dead in Christ will rise and we will meet the Lord in the air at the right time. Man, it's all laid out perfectly. It's all laid out perfectly. The book of Revelation, that's where I want to be. And I'm going to go back into it tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday. I'll go back into it tomorrow. I want to dive into it so that you will not be afraid. We're not promoting fear. It's something that is to be foretold to the generation to whom it will come. We're in the most prophetic generation that has ever been on the face of the earth, definitely within the context of a 2,000-year church age. There's never been anything like it. So let's not ignore it. Let's get the blessing. The Lord is coming. And our present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And God will put something of him in our nothingness. God will put his everything into our nothingness, and by his everything, we will endure. We trust him. We love him. But it requires coming all the way out of Babylon. Come out of her, my people. Come all the way out. Don't linger, don't dangle, don't hold on to some pet peeve, not even a half a percent. Let it all go and put on the character of Christ. That's what we're called to do every day. Let's do it. Let's gather together in prayer and conference. Let's talk about these things and get ready. Can you hear the room, room? It's revving up. It's time. And it only means for you and I, Christ is coming. The King is coming. The Savior of the world is coming. And we want to be alive and remaining. And when he comes, will he find faith in the earth? Yes, he's going to find your faith. And he's going to find my faith. All right, so I think I'm running out of time here. I've been on this for quite some time. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. It looks like I've got some comments here. Let me just say, greetings from Pakistan, Pastor. Hey, Munyar Kobar, all the way from Pakistan, tuning in right now. God bless you. I've got an invitation. I hope that one day you come to Pakistan and visit us and preach here in Pakistan. Wow, what an invitation that is. What a great way to go. Let's talk, Pastor. Sharon is saying, thank you. Preaching the things we're facing. Enjoy it. It helps me understand. God bless you, Sharon. And Joseph, check into vaccines on 60 gigahertz and 5G. YouTube, Dana Ashile. Yeah, I heard that this isn't even a coronavirus, that it's actually 5G that was implemented in China that's killing people, sucking their life out of them. Who knows? It's being brought about here too. So anyways, Book of Revelation, we are in it. Let's find our part and place. And I think it's time for me to go. I'm probably over time. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Pastor Vince. Goodbye, everybody on Facebook, on YouTube. And I hope that you'll go back and re-listen, take notes. If you have questions, ask. If you find that maybe we're off in something, let me know. We're searching for the truth, because the truth will set us free. God bless everybody. Right now, on OmegaRadio.org, there's a roundtable discussion with Patricia Joy Xavier, the author of the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. You want to get there, participate in that. OmegaRadio.org. You're going to be blessed. I'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.